Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
How about this? You check out Timeline 25 on 1043thefan.com. Remembering the biggest Colorado sports stories of the last 25 years, he is James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com who joins us. James, what's up, man?
What's happening, fellas? How are you guys?
Doing good. Now, we're going to get to Timeline 25 and lots of stuff. You know, baseball coming back and Jokic with the COVID and all that.
Yep.
But the topic that we're on, and I'm going to rant tomorrow. I'm going to yell. I'm going to scare Richie. I'm going to make fun of some of their segments. But, you know, these are the things I'm planning on tomorrow for the drive. But, James, okay. One thing that we brought up yesterday, we're getting into it today. I'm sick of this wait till next year's garbage. I'm sick of it, dude, because you have a window ever since you picked Drew Lock, and all we hear is like, well, they're building, and then next year, and we got that Mike Evans promo. I'm throwing a fireball at Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Because yep. He's like, oh, and that defense, if they're going to make the playoffs, the defense, really? The defense isn't as strong as the offense. So, James, let's talk about windows. You know how windows dry up quickly. Are the Broncos making them? I mean, Logan Ryan's just there. He's just there. You could call him up. You could sign him today, right now. And he's just sitting there. So are they going to talk about it? They're going to be about it. Because I'm seeing this window, and I'm not saying it's closing, but it's already open. And it just seems like they're like, oh, you know, hey, you know, 2021, guys.
Oh, I'm right there with you, Cecil. I am not a wait till next year guy at all. And, you know, I always joke about, well, you know, hey, I'm a fan and there's no assurance I'm going to be here for next year. So I care about this year, right? I mean, that's right. One of the things I would say. And, you know, it's the argument I got into it with Nuggets fans last year when they lost to the Blazers. And people said, well, they're just starting it. I mean, they got this window. I'm like, you don't know that. I mean, if you go back to the 94 team when they upset the Sonics, first 8-1, everybody thought, man, this team's going to be good for a while. I remember Dick Enberg and Steve Snapper Jones doing the broadcast, and when they lost Game 7 in the second round of the Jazz, saying, this Nuggets team is going to be around for a long time. Well, the Fonzo Ellis blows out his knee in the offseason. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf gets himself traded because of his national anthem protest, and Dikembe leaves for nothing via free agency to Atlanta. All of a sudden, they're back to where they were, if not even worse, and they go into this nearly decade-long slide until Melo got here. Fast forward, and this ties into my timeline 25 a little bit here, of the 2009, at the end of the 2009 season, they're in the Western Conference Finals. They take the Lakers to 6 games. If not for a bad inbounds pass from Anthony Carter in Game 1, they maybe win that series. They would have beat Orlando just like the Lakers did. They're that close to winning an NBA title. Everybody says, hey, they're gonna be good for a while. The next year, they come back. They're right there with the Lakers for the one seed. In fact, George Karl's the head coach in the All-Star game because they had a better record at the time it was picked. And then George Karl gets diagnosed with neck and throat cancer. Adrian Dantley takes over. They fall to the 4 seed, lose to the Jazz in the first round, and it all just kind of unravels from there. I mean,
yep,
a very long-winded way of saying, you don't know you're going to get another opportunity. So,
yep.
I don't want to hear that, well, they're not as good as the Chiefs yet, so don't worry about this year. It's all part of the build. Look, I've said all along, I think the most important thing and the only goal this year is to find out if Drew Lock is the answer or not. So, you know, I think they've done a good job of setting him up for success, to give him all sorts of weapons and all sorts of tools and letting him have the job from the get-go, so he's not worried about, is it my gig, not my gig? They brought in a better offensive coordinator. All these things are good, and they're positives, but does that mean I think they should just say, oh, we're just resigned to the fact that it's the Chiefs' division this year? Heck no. So if you got $17 million in salary cap, you need a third corner, which if Logan Ryan came in here, he wouldn't be the third. Bryce Callahan would be, but you need a third guy. Heck yeah, go do it. I can't stand when teams that I'm a fan of don't, in salary cap sports, don't spend every dollar they can. Then they're not doing everything they can to win. And I don't know why, as fans, then you should be expected to pay top dollar for tickets and tune in and do everything you can to be a fanatic for them. If they're not doing everything they can to win, well, then I don't think you should make the same commitment.
James, let's back up for just a second. You mentioned something that was real important. You know, Anthony Carter, bad inbound pass in 2009. Is it fair to say that the Nuggets lost that series to the Lakers and blame it solely on that play because they had game five and game six that they could have won, but they didn't do their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it was game one, so it is unfair to pin it on them, but then they came back and won game two in L.A. Really, the big loss was game three. They lost by 6 points in game three at home, had the lead in the fourth quarter, and it was one of those games where Kobe was just making everything. It was, you know, Dante Jones' hand in his face, you know, the replay, it's like an inch from his eyes with his hand, and Kobe's just drilling jumper after jumper after jumper. That was really the key. They also were up in game five in L.A. in the fourth quarter with it tied. The series tied 2-2. So they had a chance to win that game and couldn't pull it out. But, I mean, look, if they'd have taken the lead and they'd have had potentially a 2-0 lead in that series after winning game two, could have been totally different. But you're right. All that said, that was game one. Look, if the Nuggets win game one, I'm guessing Kobe comes out and scores 50 and the Lakers win game two. So they just flip-flop. So it's not fair, but Nuggets fans, and I'm one of them, we're fatalistic. Right? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
Fatalistic.
So, of course, it came down to an inbounds pass, and they couldn't get an inbounds pass. They had another one later in the series where it was almost the same situation, but that one in game one by Anthony Carter, he'll forever be remembered for that play by Nuggets fans. He's like the Nuggets version of Raheem Moore. He's defined by one moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's that can change. I mean, it's Bill Buckner, right? It's the same thing. It's like we've seen it in sports and multiple sports in multiple ways. It is Timeline 25, James Merrillat's latest series at 1043thefan.com. Going over 2009, which I remember for McJaygate.
Yep.
Hey, going down memory lane on McJaygate. What'd you think about that one, James?
Oh, man. I remember where I was. It was a Saturday.
Yeah.
When the rumor started circulating that they wanted to trade Jay Cutler. And it was like the early days of Twitter. Like, when I look at my account now, it says I joined 2009. Like, I must have joined like 2 days before all this started happening. And I'm like, what is going on? Why would he be doing that? And then it just got more and more and more bizarre, with Pat Bowlen trying to step in and Jay Cutler reportedly not answering his phone calls or returning his calls. It should have been a sign of what was to come with Josh McDaniels. The guy just couldn't get along with anybody. He was Hurricane McDaniels. This is actually what I write about for tomorrow's piece, was all the different confrontations he had in just 2 years. And then the odd personnel move that he made at the bye week when they were 6-0, and it kind of jinxed him, the Brett Kern release. So, that's just a little preview, but... the McJaygate thing, I think everybody was kind of excited when McDaniels came in because he's supposed to be this young, offensive-minded guy, kind of a guru. And look, that offense was loaded. It was Cutler and Brandon Marshall and Eddie Royal and Tony Scheffler and Ryan Clady. Like, they had a ton of talent, so we were all excited to see what they were going to do. And then, we wound up with, 2 years of Kyle Orton and them trying to tell us, oh, best chance to win. BC2W, best chance to win. I got so tired of hearing that phrase. Because I remember being on the air, guys. I was doing a remote down at Sam's Number 3 when the trade went down, and everybody was all excited and everybody was happy. And hey, we got two first round picks. I'm like, well, if those first round picks turn into Jarvis Moss, it wasn't a good trade. Well, they turned into Robert Ayers and
Alphonso Smith, because they traded away the last first rounder from Jay Cutler. They traded to get back into the second round for a cornerback that, could play basketball with Papa Smurf.
Yeah, 5'9" quarterback.
Tiny.
Well, and you know what else makes that even worse? Do you know who that pick turned into for the Seahawks?
Yes, Earl Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. look, if they'd have kept the pick and they end up getting Robert Ayers, who was okay, but he was never a Pro Bowl level player, but he's okay. And Earl Thomas?
Woo.
Okay. Then it was a pretty decent trade, and you got Kyle Orton to kind of bridge the gap to whoever. But, when it turns into Robert Ayers and Alphonso Smith and Kyle Orton, and you gave up a franchise quarterback, and people can say what they want to about Jay Cutler, and, his career didn't go the way I think people – I was a big fan of Cutler, so it didn't go the way I thought it would. But he also played for, like, 6 offensive coordinators in 7 years. It was just constant turnover. Had he stayed with Mike Shanahan, or had it not gone south with Josh McDaniels, B, I would have been really excited to see what Jay Cutler could have done, because that guy had all the talent in the world. The the throw he made in Arizona his rookie year, rolling left and hitting Javon Walker on a post route on a dime. That's as good a throw as I've ever seen a Broncos quarterback make. And I watched every game John Elway played and every game Peyton Manning played. That throw was just as good, if not better.
James, for everything that you just said that Josh McDaniels did that was viewed as being wrong, could we say that one of your favorite guys and Tim Tebow was one of the better moves that he made? Because Tim Tebow, and I know you love this, he won a playoff game for the Denver Broncos.
The only quarterback ever drafted by the Broncos to win a playoff game for the franchise. The little known tidbit there. Look, that draft in general was good. I mean, he also drafted Demaryius Thomas. He drafted Eric Decker. Sean Marino wasn't a terrible player. He was a decent back, and he was pretty valuable on that first Super Bowl team with Peyton. His first draft wasn't great. That was the No'Shawn and Robert Ayers draft and Alphonso Smith. But that second draft, and I don't have it in front of me, but I know it was Tebow, Demaryius, and Decker. That's three pretty good picks. A lot of that Brian Zander was involved. But that first year, I mean, here was the big mistake with Josh McDaniels. The organization let him have too much power. He came in and got rid of Jim and Jeff Goodman, basically took over as GM, too. He's 32 years old, turned 33 in April, so right after he got hired. If he just would have come in and been the head coach and let the Goodmans and Brian Zander and those guys all do their job, I think he might have been fine. He just had too much on his plate, too much power, went to his head. He was overwhelmed, whatever the reasons were. It just didn't work out. But, yeah, bringing Tim Tebow here, hey, if we had to put up with Hurricane McDaniels to get to enjoy the 1 year that Tebow was came in and, you know, had that crazy season, they won 5-6 games in a row or whatever it was, okay, because yeah, that was as much fun as I've had being a Broncos fan.
He's James Merrill at 1043thefan.com. Check out Timeline 25, remembering the top Denver sports stories over the last 25 years, and it's at 1043thefan.com. James, on the 2010 thing, just a little preview, a little taste for the listening audience. I was in Radio City Music Hall when Demaryius was picked over Dez Bryant. That was a huge controversy.
Yep.
Do you remember it that way? And again, I was in New York City, like, on the air. It was 2010, so I was still with the Fan at that time. And I think we were 104.3. We'd switched from 950. But anyway, but back in Denver, do you remember that being as big of a deal? Like, they took this guy from Georgia Tech, sorry, Nick, where they ran 8 passing plays per game.
Yep.
Over Dez Bryant, who was seen as like the next Michael Irvin or whatever.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the storyline. And it reminded me of 1989 when everybody wanted him to take Lewis Oliver, and instead they took a safety named Steve Atwater.
Woo.
And it was the same kind of thing. Like, how could they make that decision? Well, that turned out pretty good. And I think this one did too. I think Demaryius wound up being better than Dez Bryant. Dez had a fine career, and he would have been a fine choice here too. I think he gets, you know, all of his off-field stuff and the, you know, some of the shenanigans and the drama that just surrounds him because he's playing for the Cowboys and they get so much attention. I think actually detracts from what he accomplished. He was a pretty darn good receiver. It was almost kind of one of those where you couldn't miss. But yeah, it was definitely a controversy, and it was for those reasons you said. Nobody had ever heard of him because they ran 8 routes or whatever and threw the ball 4 times a game, and we never got to see anything from him. Then he starts his rookie year off kind of slow. I want to say he had a big game against maybe Seattle, kind of his breakout game. It wasn't super late into the year, but it also wasn't the first month, and people were starting to wonder about him. And then he had the one big game, and you thought, okay, this guy's going to be pretty good. Demaryius Thomas, and this is an unpopular opinion in this town, Demaryius Thomas is the best receiver in Broncos history, and I don't even think it's close. And that's all due respect to Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Lionel Taylor, all those guys. Demaryius Thomas could do it all. And he gets people take him for granted, and they focus too much on, you know, the drops here or there. That guy was a great, great player. That was a heck of a pick by McDaniels.
Wow. KB, are you rolling on this? Because I want to make sure that you have that recorded, what James just said about...
What, are you going to send it to Rod? You're going to text it to Rod? Hey, Rod, guess what he had said?
Because I think Rod's the second best receiver in franchise history. Like, that's some sort of knock, right?
Oh, man, listen, James, I am going to take that, and I am going to send it to Rod to see what he thinks about it. But when you look at what baseball has now become, And finally, after 3 or 4 months of this back and forth, jockeying between the owners and the players, it looks as though we're going to have baseball back. Are you confident that we're truly going to see baseball this season?
Yeah, I think now that these leagues have kind of committed to coming back, they're going to stick to it, and they're going to find ways to get it done. Now, you may see teams have to be without guys for a couple of weeks when they test positive and have to get quarantined, and there will be some wacky situations where teams lose, you know, multiple players, but I think they'll come back. Here's the thing with baseball, though. They really missed an opportunity, because if they could have figured this out and been back on the field for 4th of July weekend, right, and then they would have had a whole month of they're the only thing going on. Man, we would have watched Tuesday 10 a.m. games between the Marlins and the Braves. We wouldn't have cared, right? But now they come back like 5 days before the NBA starts, and all the NBA games will matter, and then it'll be right in the playoffs. The NHL will start right up with their postseason. That's what people are going to watch, and we haven't seen schedules for how they're going to handle broadcasts and stuff, but I just feel like the NBA is going to figure it out, and they're going to realize everybody's just dying to watch stuff. So if we put all games on all day, morning, noon, and night, people will watch them, and they'll dominate the ratings, and they'll dominate the conversation and the attention, and baseball is going to be on the back burner. They really blew a golden opportunity, and I think it was the last one they're going to have, because now we're going to see this moving forward where other sports are going to not just, you know, cede the summer to Major League Baseball. And the shame of it is, like, they wound up with the thing that was on the table, and it's actually a little bit worse for the players, that was out there like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
So what was the point of all this? Just to vote it down, and then make the commissioner force it. Well, great. I mean, what did the players accomplish with this, other than to tick people off, burn right. time, and, you know, turn away some of their fan base. So I think they'll play, Nick. Very long-winded answer to your question. I think they'll play. I'm just not sure, other than that first week, how many people are going to pay attention to it.
Saber rattling will get you nowhere if you're at the MLB. And by the way, labor strife coming up in 2022. So look for hockey, look for NASCAR. I mean, somebody's got to leave baseball. They're just screwing. They have killed the golden goose. All three of us are in our 40s, and we remember when baseball was king.
Well, and look, I don't think it's going to happen immediately, but I think MLS comes back like July 8th. You watch, when that's the only thing going on.
Kickball?
Kickball's going to win.
Woo!
It wouldn't shock me. They play in the right size stadiums for how things are going to be in the future. Just tuck it away. Save that one too, KB, that I said soccer has the chance of passing baseball.
Woo! James Merrillat, 104.3thefan.com. Check out Timeline 25 and sign up for that Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter. Hot and fresh, top sports news right to your inbox. Sign up. It's free at 104.3thefan.com. James, be good, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks. I enjoyed it.
There we go. Woo! Kickball. He's a kickballer. Woo! I mean, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, Nick Ferguson, but kickball?
See, it's going to happen to you, Cecil. You're going to start to enjoy kickball. What are the chances?
It's hard to get into a sport I mastered at the age of 7. What could Nikola Jokic's positive COVID-19 test mean for the Nuggets? That's next.
Do your job and quit making shit up!
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.